scriptures with us, and may we learn of you by your Spirit and through the power of your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
John, to go ahead now.
Sure.
Well, all right. Am I on? No. Yes.
Yes.
I'm on. Okay. Thumbs up. How is everybody tonight? Good. It's been kind of an interesting 10 days here, hasn't it? Bit of a COVID problems around, the death of Micah Bastick, and it's all kind of disheartening. We're not seeing that. We're not seeing that disease retreat. And it's continuing to even come to people who didn't seem to be affected by it before. It's been hard. And we've all prayed for Kathy Bastick and her life alone now, and we ask God to really help her. Turn to Exodus 16, please. Exodus 16. We're coming to one of the most interesting and fascinating portions of Scripture. You realize that from Exodus and to Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, we have the life of Moses. We have God giving Israel instructions. God is forming a new people. And when Israel settles at Sinai, in just a few days, actually, they settle at Sinai, God's going to give them the Ten Commandments, and is going to give them some things about the tabernacle, and is going to give them sacrifice and service. And that's a huge portion of Scripture. It's fascinating, isn't it? I remember years ago reading books on those, trying to grasp what was said, and spending time in Leviticus, because when I first started reading Leviticus, it was a mess. I didn't know what's going on. And I began to understand what God was doing. He's forming a people. These people are to live for him and witness to him in this world. They are to honor the sacrifices and the things he gives them. And much, all of these four point to Jesus Christ. And one day Jesus Christ will come to this world. Israel was given a privileged position. And Moses' leadership is really quite interesting, I think. I'm not going to be able to deal with a lot. I'm going to pass over some of this. I want to focus tonight on leadership. Now, the other portions about the Ten Commandments and the tabernacle and the priesthood and the sacrifice need complete studies on their own. And I've been focusing on Moses and this portion that we're facing all the way to the end of Deuteronomy is dealing with Moses, the children of Israel, there's rebellion. There's what God is teaching Moses. There are all kinds of examples for us. And you can apply that to our lives. We're not too late in the process. Some of the principles of leadership are important for today. So in chapter 15, they're on the other side of the Red Sea and they're praising the Lord. You've read that. And Jeff pointed some things out. And it's really a great portion. And when you read that, you can see how much they understood about God up to now. And it wasn't all blank. And they were praising him and thanking him. And in verse 27, 15, it says, and they came to Elim where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped by the water. And that was refreshing. They're starting now, their other side, they're going to be entering the wilderness, and it's a refreshing. God gives them refreshment before they start some difficult things in their lives. And this is going to be hard for everybody. And it's worth reading. So they go to eat and stop at Edom, which is between Elam and Sinai. They're not really far from Sinai. And God's going to take them to Sinai. And at Sinai, they're going to spend almost a year. And during that time, there will be Ten Commandments, sacrifices, the priesthood, the tabernacle. So I'm in verse 2 of chapter 16. Then the whole congregation of children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate to the full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger." Now, get this. This is something that's always made an impression on me. They're only like 3 days out. They're dancing and singing and praising, and now they're complaining. The human heart is filled with complaints. It's always filled with complaints. So they're there. They've had some refreshment, Elam, but they're worried about what they're going to eat. And look how they look back. This is something. They look back. Oh, look what we had in Egypt. Man, we had it good. No inflation. We got the fish and the leeks and the, by the way, that diet, leeks and garlics and cucumbers. It makes my gallbladder hurt just thinking about it, all right? But they start to complain. And what you'll see is there's constant complaints. And the leadership of Moses is going to have to endure these complaints. And it's not easy. There are principles here for leadership in local churches, spiritual leadership and such. So they were in the community in the desert. We had only died 16, 2, and 3 in the land of Egypt. For a leader to stay healthy, for a leader to stay productive, you just can't allow the comments of those that determine attitude. Their attitudes are going to affect you and everybody. Their attitudes are often going to make people around them gloomy and discouraged, and they're going to get after Moses. They're going to hurt him. Negativism is a common behavior that can really exhaust any leader. And so I think there's lessons here for all of us. I know as a missionary, we knew what we were doing. We knew what God was doing. We were happy. We were joyful that we could be involved in something. But boy, the burden, the negativism, the other things that went on often made us think if we could be out of there. I had a top drawer in my desk, and in that top drawer was my American passport. Right. And at times when I was gloomy, I would pull open the drawer and see the passport and think, I can be in Miami tomorrow. Okay. And I never did, but there it is. Okay. I have to stay here another day. Miami's always there. Flight every day at 4 o'clock. So this sort of thing. All right. So people can be discouraging. One or two people discouraged can affect the whole crowd. You'll see that also. And you'll see when they don't enter the land, 10 people can affect the whole group. But I must go on because I'm not going in the direction that Jeff and others would go. So the whole community grumbled. And in 1 Corinthians 10:10, And I think you pretty well know that. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Don't turn to that, but it says 10. Let's go back to 6. Now these things became our example to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Talking about Israel, right? 7. And we do not become idolaters, some of them is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play the gold calf. Now Paul is thinking about this whole thing, and he's got one thing in mind. Complaints, people who do not accept God's will, people who go off and do things because they're not happy with what God has told. Verse 8. Now let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. All right, that's the gold calf. Verse 10, nor complain, and some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. And all these things happened to them as example. Why? And they were written up for our admonition. These things that took place in Israel are not just something we put aside. They're written for our admonition. Complain, so on and so forth. All right. So in chapter 16:2, Moses endured a lot of grumbling. And chapter 16:9, verse 8, it says, and your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. And people have a way of doing when you're often discontent about what God is doing. You blame on another, whether it's what you think, poor leadership, or somebody who hasn't been fair to you, you blame on another. And so Paul makes it clear. And so you, verse 12, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know I am the Lord. So this is one of the first complaints about food. We don't have enough. And again, they're looking back to Egypt, and they're looking back to what they had. They forgot they wanted to be free. You come to Christ, and it's such a relief to know you're saved and you belong to Jesus Christ. You don't know what's ahead, but what a relief, and there's joy and peace. So anyway, he heard the complaints of the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 12, I've heard the complaint. Speak to them. At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. So it was that the quails came up evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew laid on the ground. Well, you know what it was. They got this meat they wanted, and it was so much it became spoiled. Became rancid, they got sick. And they were fed up, so to speak, with what they wanted. And this happened, and here's again the Christian life, right? We want something. We recall something. We think we should have more. Maybe God will give us what we ask for because we're constantly asking and complaining. And maybe we'll learn that I don't need that in my life. So I move on. But that's one of the things. So Moses is challenged as a leader. And what will happen is he's a challenge by fatigue, by frustration. And you can see it wearing in Moses as he begins to argue with the Lord. He begins to almost say similar things to him. Have you given me this leadership so that I can fail here? And so now let's go and to Numbers chapter 20. You'll see I'm going to be moving around because I have that one goal in mind, right? Now one goal in mind is to mention about leadership and people. Okay, Numbers 20. Verse Verse 7. The children of Israel, the whole congregation, came in the wilderness to send the first one, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there. Now, in this portion, chapter 7, Moses says to the Lord, well, the Lord said to Moses, I'm sorry, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as the holy in the sight of Israel. You will not bring this community into the land. I'll just leave that. But what happens is that Moses is being worn down, and he's tired, and he has needs. Right? Now, another place, Numbers 11, please. Okay. All right. Numbers 11 and verse 11 and 15. I hope I'm getting this right. Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant, and why have not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that they should say to me, carry them in the bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to the fathers? And if, go back to 11:1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. It also says in verse 4, there was a mixed multitude who were among them, yielded to intense craving. The intense craving is a correct translation. It means that they had intense craving, lust, and they were there with the people, and they were going to complain. So this mixed multitude are there. And verse 4 of 11, they crave food, the intense craving for food. And they were not happy with man. Verse 6, chapter 11. Now the whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this man before I. The discontent comes from God not always meeting. The discontent comes because we expect more, we demand more from the Lord, and maybe we don't get it, and we become upset. This is the nature of the people. This is what the people are feeling. This is what the people are complaining about. So this mixed multitude and an intense craving. And they were complaining. Verses 10 of chapter 11, Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance to the tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. By now, you expect these people to learn. You know, when somebody comes to know Christ as your Savior, they know very, very little. And they have to grow, and they have to experience, and they have to face challenges, and they have to face disappointment. And there might come to a time where they simply say, you know, I came to know the Lord. I was more joyful. I had more. It seemed like the Lord answered all my prayers. And now he doesn't seem to be doing much. Well, the Lord most likely is doing more than they think, trying to teach them. So this burden of leadership is really, really heavy. And Moses complains himself. He had brought Moses kind of a irritable attitude with the Lord. And so it's not one of Moses' greatest leadership moments, right? You can see I move around here. The burden of leadership is getting heavy. He received the Ten Commandments. He was going to have the tabernacle and understand it and find people who could design it, make it, and the priesthood. He was given a lot of insight and information, and he thought that this would help the people, encourage them. Well, it wasn't necessarily doing that. So this complaining with getting Moses down, right? It wasn't one of his best moments. And he blames God for the problem, right? The people blame Moses, and he blames God. You know, why have you given me this to do if things aren't going to get better, if people aren't going to grow, if people aren't going to understand more, if people are going to constantly be burdened? We would like to do positive things. We would like to see these people understand this truth. And why is it that we just keep having to go through this? And it wearies people out. And sometimes you sit there and wonder, what should I teach them next? What do they need? What are we doing? It's a hard one. So in 11 to 15, Moses did complain a bit to the Lord, and it wasn't the greatest time for him. Let's go to, back to 11:11 and verse 12. And you laid the burden of all these people on me. Verse 12, that I conceive all these people, that I beget them, that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian. Verse 13, where am I to get meat to give to all these people? I can't feed them. I can't meet all their needs. No. Leadership has, you can see I'm just branching out, it's strange. In a local church, every person has a need. One might say almost every person has a different need. People are at different stages of growth. There are different stages of understanding. I would like more of this stuff. I would like more of that. I need some help with things. I'm discouraged. And what's happened is that people have their own burden, and it becomes burdensome to the leader. What are we going to teach? So we teach something on creation. Then we teach something on that. We teach something on that. And some people are discouraged. They're depressed. They're down. They need to know more about Christian things. They need to understand. They need to see how the enemy can work with them. So that's a point that I think is important enough. And so chapter 11, Numbers, is very interesting. And verse 13, Moses says, where am I? 11:13, where am I to get to feed them? I am not able to bear thee. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now, for if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretch. Wow. I remember now a little bit as our work in the mountain was getting really hard. And not only hard because the local priests were challenging us and preaching the gospel and warning people. And having going to different people in town, to the mayor, saying, that guy works for you in sanitation. If he keeps going to them, you have to fire them. And the mayor fired them. And not only that, but he went to the owner of the house, and he said to the owner, where these people are paying rent, you have to kick them out. And after a Sunday night Bible study, the family went home. And all their furniture was on the street. And they were there. They had nothing to do. It's dark. It's cold up in the mountains. People took them in. So this man decided to do what the priest wanted. He went back to the church. He got his job back. Everything was looking good. And for a while, he couldn't look us in the eye when we saw him in the plaza. 6 or 7 months later, he came in with the Bible in his hand. And everybody kind of, whoa, Atanasio. He said, I can't do what they want. I'm not going to. I miss this. I need this. And I'm going to see what they're going to do. And you know what? They never fired him. They never fired him, and he got another place to live. But the priests, and then false, a doctrine was coming up about healing and tongues and rebuking the devil and all kinds of things. And I remember just feeling as if, Lord, you sent us here. You gave us the opportunity. We saw people saved, and I'm totally worried. I'm at my wit's end. And I sat out by the airport, if you can call it there in Malaga. I sat up by a little strip of grass, and I sat up on some rocks in the mountain. And I remember thinking about it and really feeling as if the Lord was not meeting my needs, and why was he doing it? And somehow, and I don't know how, I began to think about my salvation. I began to think about it's like it all came before me. My salvation and how I came to the Lord and the people at the Free Church, and these people really humble and kind. And I went through all of the good things in John Fisco and all of it. And suddenly I thought to myself, you took care of me when I had some weird thing, some bad thing. And I'm going to go back to that meeting tonight, Saturday night Bible study. And I'm going to teach them what I had planned to teach them. I'm not even going to mention some of this stuff. So I went back and I did some teaching, and people were very receptive. I came back 3 weeks later, and the people said to me, it's done. We don't want any of that. We talked about it. We talked about it. And we're satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was so thankful to what the Lord did. It was great. Well, I must move on. Of course. I'm talking to you. All right. And so another thing that Moses was going to need to learn is in chapter 11 of Numbers, he's going to need to know about shared leadership. And that was really important to them. All right. So that was something you read before and you know about, and it's important. Now, in verse 23 of chapter 11, see, I'm really skipping. Verse 23, the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now that you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. So Moses went out and told the people the word. And he talked to them. And then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took off the spirit that was upon him and gave it to the other. Well, one thing I want to mention, imagine how privileged the Israelites were. Right? They saw the Red Sea open. They saw God take care of them. During that time, they had the pillar of cloud and with them in the fire. I mean, we don't have that. We would like it sometime, wouldn't we, Lord? Which way you're going? Just give me a little spark and I'll go. They saw things that were absolutely incredible. And then Moses went to Sinai and he received the Ten Commandments. And God was teaching them about himself in the tabernacle, a place of worship, right in the middle of the camp. And when was there, the presence of God was there. And they knew it was there. Imagine, they saw things. And you and I live a lot more by faith. So now in chapter 12, 3. Okay. I'm going ahead again. Chapter 12, 3. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke again, Moses, because of the Ethiopian one. Not only were other people complaining, but this is your brother and sister. These are people close to you, people you know, people you love, people who love you. Now these two begin to complain, and it's, I think, wow, something else, because there's something more here in the hearts of Aaron and Miriam than just simply saying, you try to do all things on your own. And they didn't like the wife. Now, She's an Ethiopian, and you can study all about this. Whether she was Ethiopian, somebody say Kush, somebody says other land. I don't think it's really important. It's nice to study. I did some studying this morning looking at it. But what is happening is that she's Abraham's wife. She's Moses' wife. And I think they might see or think that Moses talked to him too much, or she influences him. And these two are going to attack her. But what they're really doing is attacking Moses. And they're showing pride, all right? So in 12, chapter 12, 11 and 12, it says, "Please, Lord, do not hold against us the sin that have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like stillborn infant coming from mother's womb to flesh white." She had leprosy. Moses and Aaron needed to really understand. And in Exodus, it says when Moses and all the Israelites, when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. And so Moses is dealing with this other problem. And verse 2 of 12, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses?" Hey, we have the Holy Spirit. We've seen these things. We know what's going on. We're God's children. Has he only spoken to Moses? And God can speak through us too. We can give messages that are needed. Leadership often faces these kind of people, who will sit down and say, "This is the problem with this place, and if you give us some opportunities, we can talk." People have come in and hammered some things, good things, but they've hammered and hammered and hammered until it's hurt the chapel and hurt people. Okay, so when, now here then in Numbers chapter 12, 10 to 15, there's a lot, 10 to 15, and she became a leper. And verse 13, Moses cried to the Lord saying, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." And the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had spit on her face." Now, what this is simply the Levirate marriage. If a man doesn't want the child that he from the woman that his brother was married to, he has a way of doing things to reject the child when it's born. And so he's talking about that, and it's creating more problems. Moses has his handful, and the people now his brother and sister. It's very disheartening when people know turn on us and discourage us. All right, now I think I'll quit here. I'm speaking December 1st, and I honestly don't know if I have more or where I'm going to go, but I think I'm going to wrap this up. Because there's much more. When the people arrive at Kadesh, Numbers 13, chapter 1 to 25, this is where they are to go out and search the land. And between Egypt and between this time when they eat him, Moses has faced relentless criticism, self-doubt. He gets testy with the Lord, and the Lord has to teach him. And one of the things that, of course, takes place, I believe, is Numbers 3:7. I mean, Numbers 3:7. No. All right. It's where The people complain about Moses and say he's proud, he's haughty, he wants to run things on his own. And the Lord says Moses is the meekest man on the face of the earth. And Moses is not doing this for his own good. He's not doing this for his own reputation. He's not doing this for self. Moses is a meek man and he is serving me. But you can see that at times Moses was upset. I think that it's been sort of a strange day putting this together. I have good, well-organized notes. I'm saying this non-excuse, just that I remember reading Charles Spurgeon's book on Preacher and Preacher. It's an excellent book. And Charles Spurgeon talks about how sometimes he says, I am well prepared, and I walk the stairs to the pulpit, and big pulpit. I walk the stairs to the pulpit, and I already know that I'm not going to do well, and I'm already sensing that I'm not sure I'm going to make all my points. It tells us right to us, too. So, Lord willing, December 1st, give me some help, give me some instruction, or tell me to get lost. And I hope God will help us. We're going up this weekend to Casco, Luxembourg. It's the first time in almost 2 years we've been up there. And those people, except for a few, have not gotten shot. That's not that important to us, but they have not. And we're going up, and we've had all of the works, and we're going to speak. And I trust the Lord will give me a message. I hope to encourage them, not talking about the COVID, but I hope to encourage them. But it's been almost 2 years, and it's going to be strange to be up there. And December, the first weekend in December, we're going to Joel Hansen and Eau Claire up there to their meeting for 4 days of speech. And we haven't been up there since the COVID started. And they had a bout with it, not maybe 6-7 months ago. It seemed to be going around. So Lord willing, we'll give them the word and see what's up. I wish you would like you to pray for that. I'm excited to get back there, see these people and encourage them. And one of the things about those people is that they're not big groups, but they use a lot of local men. Not everybody can teach, but they have some really sharp teachers. They've pretty well taken care of themselves during this time and been able to minister to each other. And I think that's really been great. And so pray for that, would you please? Thank you.